الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درش بالله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, anyone who studies Islamic history, Tarikh al-Islam, will notice that there have been many internal divisions, internal groups and factions within the Muslim Ummah. And that can be very disturbing for some of the simple-minded Muslims. At times you will find many people saying, pouring out their sentiments. Often hear them saying that the Quran is one, Allah is one, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one, but why so many divisions amongst the Ummah? Different brands, different denominations, different set of beliefs, different groups, yet Allah is one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one, the Quran is one. A valid point, of course. What we need to understand, my respected brothers, is that first of all, this question should be answered under the radar of the Quran and Sunnah. Under the radar of the Quran and Sunnah. Everything is about the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This should not surprise the Ummah, so many groups and divisions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already mentioned in one hadith that the Jews, Banu Israel, that came before you, fragmented into 72 groups. Banu Israel into 72 divisions. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will be divided into 73 divisions. 73 divisions. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 72 will go to Jahannam, one will go to Jannah. 72 will go to Jahannam, and one will go to Jannah. Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, immediately when Allah's Nabi said 72 in Jahannam and one in Jannah, they put forward a very important question, saving the Ummah. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you tell us who are the fortunate ones that will enter Jannah? Short, simple, but a comprehensive answer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma ana alay wa ashabi. Those who follow my sunnah and those who love my companions. SubhanAllah. Those who follow my sunnah. Ma ana alay wa ashabi. And those that follow the practice of my companions. Those that have this affiliation with my companions. with Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een. They will enter Jannah. Now imagine, my respected brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not isolate the companions to be a different breed and complete separate entity, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anybody wants to enter Jannah, they have to follow my sunnah and they have to follow the sunnah of the companions, the practice of the companions. And so this should not be a surprise to us. A lot of us say, oh, we should be one, this, that. We need to understand whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a prophecy that has to materialize. In fact, we see this with our own eyes. So many groups. Even today, you'll find amongst the contemporary groups, denominations, different brands and different names. For an example, Ismailiyya, Zaydiyya, Husayniyya, Shi'iyya, different groups. Going back, Kharijiyya, Murji'iyya, Qadariyya, Jabariyya, and so many different groups. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Subhanallah. But just to answer this very important question, and it all really fits well with the understanding of how these people entered the city of Makkah and why they wanted to get rid of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. If you look at all the divisions, subhanallah, and if you analyze the agenda, what they want, one will quickly realize that these are just modern deviated attachments to the very first anti-Islamic campaign during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll see them in the year 2009, the sprouts are in different colors, but the roots are the same. The roots are the same. It is all connected to that very first anti-Islamic movement, anti-Islamic campaign in Medina during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be it Ismailiyya, Zaydiyya, Husayniyya, and all the ERs that you see are all connected to the first anti-Islamic movement during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we can understand this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are actually solving a lot of problems. We will have an open mind. We will lay a strong foundation of iman. We will progress in our love for the companions and for the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we have a sound understanding, we will really understand the message and the meaning of the Quran. Ye muqaddamat, these are very, very important introductions, my respected brothers. That these are groups that are connected to the anti-Islamic movement during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. During the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the group was known as the Munafiqeen. The first enemies were the Kufar. The Kufar were defeated in the battlefields. Uhud, Badr, Khandak, and all the battles. Read the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Kufar were defeated. When the companions got to Madinatul Munawwara, it was something new for them, a safe haven for the companions. And when they got to Madinatul Munawwara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory after victory. Many lands opened up and Madinatul Munawwara became Darul Khilafa, the capital of the Islamic Khilafat. The Kuffar were there watching this and they knew that it is very difficult now to challenge the Muslims. And so what do we do? The only option they had was to internalize themselves, was to integrate themselves and to play this game of camouflaging their real identity. And they put on this robe of being hypocrites, munafiqeen. And so when they would meet the Muslims, they said, we are Muslims and your brothers.
And when they would be with their own groups, they would say, we are munafiqeen, we really have got nothing to do with these kuffar, with these Muslims. We are Jews, we are Ahle Yahud, and we are not Muslims, but we are only pretending. This was a game that was being played, and this game is still being played until today. And so it is very important that we define and distinguish these groups, my respected brothers. Otherwise, we can fall in the same trap. Very, very important. This is a game that is being played. From the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam until today, all of these different groups that you see, if they were to say that, oh, we don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'd be too obvious. People would understand that these are kuffar. And openly they would be declared as kafirin. If they were to say that we dislike Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again the same issue. They would openly, the Muslims would declare them to be kuffar because they hate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the munafiqeen knew that the Muslims are devout lovers of Allah and His Rasul. They knew that they love Allah and His Rasul, so let's not mess around with the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the risalat, the prophethood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let us stay away. And the only target available now is Sahaba-i-kiram ajma'in. And so they knew, my respected brothers, that Sahaba-i-kiram ajma'in, according to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, the Muslims believe that they were not ma'asumeen. They were not ma'asum. They could make mistakes. And so the best option is to attack Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in and to confuse people and to put doubt in the hearts of people. That is why they attacked the house and the family of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, so that for generations to come, when they pick up the book of Islamic history and when they read what happened to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, a man should really doubt the character of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, that who this man really was, al-iyazu billah. That so many people, as many as 3,000-4,000 people, entered the city of Madinatul Munawwara and they surrounded the residence of this great man, the son-in-law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the purpose and this is the maqsad. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers, because when you quote a hadith and when you say qala Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, you have a hadith here and he says qama fina Rasulullah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood in front of us. Okay, that is the hadith. But before qala Rasulullah is the name of that sahabi who is narrating the hadith. And so these are the main arteries to the hearts. If you can damage the arteries, everything collapses. If you damage the arteries, everything collapses. So attack the Sahaba, and if people doubt the character of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, and then if you quote a hadith, that hadith is also doubtful. Why? Because that Sahabi al-Iyazu Billah is dubious, is doubtful. The character of that Sahabi is doubtful. This is the game that is being played, my respected brothers. From the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam until today, the year 2009. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give jazai khair to our scholars and the ulama of this ummah. That every time a deviant sect came up, immediately the ulama were there writing books, speaking out against them, so that the iman is saved, so that the iman of people is saved, and giving the right decision in accordance to the Quran and to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For an example, my respected brothers, Qadianis. Anybody who knows about Qadianism, Qadianis are not just a group of people that reject the finality of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They don't just reject khatm-e-nabuwat. But these are people who speak evil and speak foul about the character and the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They disrespect Sahaba-i Kiram ajmain. Not only do they say that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the last Nabi, but other prophets can come, but at the same time they even target the companions. And every deviant sect that you will see today will not have love for a Sahabi. Shia Rawafiz, very openly you'll see them to have long beards, and they will wear big black pagris, you know, amama, and they will wear long kurtas. And if you look at them, the skin color will be very fair. You see, one is to be fair and one is to have noor on your face. Two different things. I hope people understand that. I wish that. One is to be fair, you know, someone's got a very light skin. And one is to have noor. You see, noor and to have a fair skin, two different things. Noor is noor of iman. Noor is noor of your iman, subhanAllah. And every believer, a Muslim, will have that noor. But if you look at the Rawafiz today, they openly criticize Rasul sallallahu, Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. And this hadith is also understood when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that in my ummah, the groups will be divided into 73 sects, 72 will go in Jahannam. If you study Shi'ism, there are more groups and denominations amongst the Ahl-e Tash'i more than the Sunni sect. More than the Sunni sect. More than the Sunni sect. All of these, you see, the Qajars and the Ismailis and the Voras and this and that, the Shia Voras and so many other groups that you will find are actually all connected to this main link, which is to be Ahl-e Tash'i. And that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, those that criticize Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, salvation for them will be difficult in the hereafter. And so we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Everything starts from the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And you will find also that I describe these people, it's one club. The hate mongers of the companions. The hate mongers of the companions. They hate Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. They can't make it so open with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It would be very difficult. People become very emotional when somebody speaks aliyazu billah ill of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's very difficult. And so the best option would be to target Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. And what they do is that they find certain sections of the Quran and certain sections of the Hadith to prove their point, that we have proof that Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in had betrayed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam aliyazu billah, that they were unfaithful people, and they would start to misquote verses of the Quran. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the la'nat of Allah and the la'nat of every Nabi is on that person, az-za'idu fi kitabillah, the one who misinterprets the tafsir of the Quran. Misinterprets the tafsir of the Quran. La'nat be on that individual. And this is what you will find today many people doing, many groups. Just to give you a quick example, because what I want to open up is one very important hadith, which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and also in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. But the verse of the Quran which a lot of these people often quote is the famous verse of Suratul Jumu'ah. On the day of Friday, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving khutbah. Namaz had been completed, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving khutbah. It was Yawmul Jumu'ah. Now some of you might be wondering that namaz is finished and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving khutbah, remember that Yawmul Jumu'ah, the farz of Jumu'ah upon the ummah, this ruling that your salah, salatul Jumu'ah is farz upon the ummah, this ruling also came down in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visiting the qabila, the tribe of Banu Salim. And in the early days, when this ayat kareema was revealed to show that Jumu'ah is an obligation upon the ummah, the method of praying was exactly like how we perform the Eid Salah. So first it was your Salah and then it was your Khutbah. And so the same for Jumu'ah. First in the beginning Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform his Salah and then he would read his Khutbah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had completed the farz, namaz was completed, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit and gave the khutbah to the people. Coincidentally, what had happened at that time is that you had a group of people that were beating the drums, and announcing that the trading caravan of Dahya Kalbi is here. The trading caravan of Dahya Kalbi is in Madinatul Munawwara. As-sahaba ikiram ajma'in were in the masjid. And just outside the masjid you had people making noise. These were not Muslims. Ah, the people of Medina, where are you? The caravan of Dahya Kalbi is here. The caravan of Dahya Kalbi is here, beating the drum, beating the drum, beating the drum. Now what had happened is that some of the companions that were sitting close to the doors of Masjid Nabwi, where the exit was to Masjid Nabwi, some of them just slipped out. Some young companions moved and they wanted to, of course, get their necessity. And when the people in front noticed that the people at the back have disappeared, they decided that why not, let us also go and go to the caravan. And slowly a lot of the companions stood up from the masjid and went to the caravan of Dahya Kalbi to buy goods. Now Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid, sahaba ikiram, some of them were also in the masjid, but some had gone to buy some of the goods from the caravan that came from Syria. Now Dahya Kalbi is a sahabi, remember, but at that time he was not a Muslim. A very handsome sahabi, very handsome. He was known for his beauty. At times Jibreel Amin would come in the image of Dahya Kalbi to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now when the companions went to that caravan to buy the essentials, you will find that the Shia and the enemies of Sahaba Ikram Ajma'een fantasizing upon this incident and saying, you see, Sahaba did not have any love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they had love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would be seated in the masjid. But they went for dunya. Al-iyazu billah, al-iyazu billah. Now my respected brothers, if anyone was to just read the verses of the Quran in this manner, it would be difficult for him to understand. It would be difficult for him to really understand. What we need to understand is what the Mufassireen have mentioned. That at that time, the people of Medina were at the verge of death. There was no food in Madinatul Munawwara. There was no food in Madinatul Munawwara. In fact, there was no water in Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Imam Hassan Basri radiallahu ta'ala an says, let alone food, but there was not even enough water for the people of Madinatul Munawwara. Starvation. They were suffering. They had no food. And Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, they thought that we are desperate people and people who are at this moment needy people, and we were also waiting for the caravan of Dahya Kalbi because he knew the people of Medina, he was from Medina, and he would bring all the essentials for the people of Medina, and there was no food in Madinatul Munawwara. And so some of the companions stood up. And what we also need to know is that there was no special ruling at that time given to the companions about the khutbah of Jumu'ah. About the khutbah of Jumu'ah, like we know it today, that the khutbah is the Jews' part of your Salatul Jumu'ah. But for the companions, they thought that Alhamdulillah, we have read our Salah, we have completed our Salah, and so the khutbah is optional. What is khutbah? Khutbah is optional. This ruling did not come to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the verses of the Quran that khutbah is also part of your Salatul Jumu'ah. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in were not aware of this ruling. And because of this ruling and this incident that had taken place, only thereafter it became evident to the companions and to the rest of the ummah that khutbah is also wajib and it is part of your Jummah package. It is part of your Jummah package. And in fact, to make it easy for the ummah, what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did is after this incident, he said that we will read the khutbah before Salatul Jumu'ah. We will read the khutbah before Salatul Jumu'ah. So we need to understand that the people of Medina were at the verge of starvation. Food rationing. People did not have anything to drink. People did not have anything to eat. And these were needy people. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them with a lot of love. And Allah says to the companions that Wallahu khayru razikin. Worry not, Allah is the best in giving sustenance. Allah is the best in giving sustenance. One hadith which is very, very important, and brothers need to understand this. You will find at times this hadith is misquoted. And this hadith is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and the Sahih of Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an is the narrator. Ibn Abbas says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he said to us, Ya ayyuhan nas, ebhai, oh boy, sit down or go out. Don't move around. Jalli jao. People bring their young ones, please make sure they don't move around. Theek hai na? It disturbs me. Ji. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, إِنَّكُمْ مُحْشَرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. You will be gathered on the day of Qiyamah حُفَاتًا. حُفَاتًا means barefooted. Barefooted. عُرَاتًا naked. And غُرْلًا uncircumcised. Allah's Nabi is saying on the day of Qiyamah you will be without shoes. All these Nike pairs and Adidas won't be there for anyone at that time. You will be barefooted and you will be naked and you will be uncircumcised. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this ayat kareema, kama bada'na awwala khalqin nu'idu, just like how we created you in the first instance. Nu'iduhu, we will repeat this procedure. In wa'adan alayna inna kunna fa'ilin, and this is a promise that is binding unto me. This is a promise that is binding unto me. Inna kunna fa'ilin. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa inna awwal al khala'ik yuksa yawm al qiyama Ibrahim. That the first man to be given some clothes to wear on the day of qiyama will be Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Immediately an attire will be given to him to cover his body. Why, my respected brothers? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was a great mujahid. He was the first man who spoke against Namrud, and invited him towards the worship of Allah. And what Nimrod did, Namrud, is that he ripped the clothes of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and they pushed him into the fire. And in honor of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, because he was firm and steadfast, and whatever tests was brought forward to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, Allah says, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, full marks were given to him. And so on the day of Qiyamah, clothes of Jannah will be given to him. That is Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. We also need to read one other narration in the hadith, that this virtue is also for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This virtue is also for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will be the first one to come out from my grave. I will be the first one to come out from my grave. And I am the first one who will be given the clothes of Jannah. The clothes of Jannah. And I will be standing towards the right side of the Arsh of Allah. I will be standing towards the right side of the Arsh of Allah. But again, this virtue is also there for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam is describing some of the events of the hereafter on the day of Qiyamah. And he says that a group of people will be presented to me. سَيُجَاءُ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي And they will be from my ummah, my followers. فَيُؤْخَذُ بِهِمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ But the angels will push them to the left side. The angels will push them to the left side, as in towards Jahannam. فَأَكُولُ And I will start saying, يَا رَبِّي, oh my Allah, أَصْحَابِي, أَصْحَابِي, that these are my followers. That these are my followers. But in Arabic, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has used the word ashab. What did he say? Ashabi. But the translation of this hadith is that these are my followers. These are my followers. But then the angels will say to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have no knowledge that after you had departed from this dunya, what they did to the Sharia that you brought to them. What they did to the Sharia that you brought to them. And it ends in a way that, إِنَّهُمْ لَيَّزَالُوا مُرْتَدِّينَ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِهِمْ مُنْذُ فَارَدْتَهُمْ And that they continuously returned back on the heels, returned back on the heels from the straight path that you showed them when you departed from them, when you had departed from them. As in they apostated, they became murtad. Now, this hadith here mentioned, you will find that the groups that don't have the love for Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'een, they cite this hadith in their favor. And they say, you see, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that these are my ashab. What are they? My ashab. Ashab is who? Companions. And Allah is saying that these people have become murtad aliyazubillah. What have they become? Murtad aliyazubillah. Again, to decontextualize the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the wrong manner. Ashabi here is a general term which means generally the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who? The ummah. And the only reason why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam used the word ashab here is to follow the pattern of the Quran. Because on the day of Qiyamah, it won't be just Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his ummah. You'll have Musa alayhi salam and his ummah. So you'll have Musa alayhi salam and his followers. You will have Nuh alayhi salam and his followers. You will have Yusuf alayhi salam and his followers. You will have Ibrahim alayhi salam and his followers. So each of the prophets will have their own followers. And the Quran has used the word ashab. Ashab. The Quran has used the term ashab 77 times. How many times? The word ashab comes in the Quran. And not once is it used to describe the companions. The word ashab comes 77 times, but not once is it described for the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I have written here some of the examples. For example, the Quran says, Ashabu Musa. Ashabu Musa. The followers of Musa alayhi salam. Ashabul Hijr. The followers of the people of the stone land. And Allah says, Ashabu Aika. The followers of Aika. Ashab Madian. The followers of Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Ashab Safina. The followers of Nuh alayhi salam. Ashabul Qarya, the people of the city. And so this term Ashab is used, but it is not used for Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, but it is a general term that the Quran speaks and describes those that are the followers of that community or that prophet. And so in comparison to that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has used the same word, that these are my followers. It is not talking about that these are my companions. How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a group of people a certificate of Jannah in dunya, and then aliyazu billah, after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that certificate is taken back from them? Is this a game, my respected brother? Now the question is, if these individuals were not the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then how did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam recognize them? How did he recognize them? How is he going to say that these are my followers? If they were not the companions, how will he say that these are my followers? The answer is very simple, my respected brothers. Another hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One sahabi said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Nabi Allah, on the day of Qiyamah there will be so many people, how will you recognize your followers, your ummah? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Ghurram muhajjaleen, I will recognize them by the markings of their wudu. I will recognize them by the markings of their wudu. And ghurra means that on the day of Qiyamah, because of wudu, the peshani, the forehead of a believer, will have this celestial light, noor, that will be shining on the forehead. He will have noor on the forehead. And muhajjaleen means that there will be a ring on the ankle of the feet, and this will also be of a celestial light. This will also be noor. Ghurra muhajjaleen actually means that a black horse, a black, complete black horse, but it has white markings on the forehead and white markings on the legs. And this horse is considered to be the most valued horse with the Arabs. Very expensive horse. Very expensive. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that my ummah on the day of Qiyamah will be ghurram muhajjaleen. That they will have noor on their face and they will have noor on their feet. That's why when you wash your feet, make sure you wash your feet properly. Sometimes you will see that at times the heels are dry. The heels are dry. And also pass your fingers properly on the feet. Properly. And this is also the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a very important sunnah, my respected brothers and elders. At times you will find that people who have diabetes or any illnesses like that, it's difficult if you have any fungus on the feet, it's difficult to heal. And so when you clean that section regularly 5 times a day, and then dry it properly, mashallah, that will save you from infection. That will save you from infection. That is why this is a great sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there is a gap between the first and the second finger. The first and the second finger. But there is no gap with the rest of the fingers. If there were gaps all the way, it's not a beautiful sight. It's not a beautiful sight. And Allah designs, subhanallah, and Allah designs beautifully. And there's only a gap between the first and the second finger, and there is no gap. And because there is no gap, we have to put the little finger and to make sure that every part is washed properly. To save ourselves from infection. But khair, the masla is, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that there will be light on the forehead and there will be light also to the level, lower section of the body, the feet. And that is how I will recognize my ummah. So there is a possibility, because of wudu, these people, there will be a bit of shine on their forehead. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, well, these are my followers. But the angels will push them on the side, and they will say to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that these are not your followers, these are the Ahle Bid'ah people. Who are they? These are the Ahle Bid'ah people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So they have this habit that they would cite certain ahadith and certain verses of the Quran in which they could target the companions. But alhamdulillah, they will not find a single hadith and they will not find a single verse of the Quran, because the Quran is full of praise of the companions. The Quran is full of praise of the companions, and the hadith is also full of praise of the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. What was mentioned in our session tonight, my respected brothers, is so that we understand that a lot of these groups, their agenda is one. The agenda is one. To tarnish the image of Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. And we have to be careful as people of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at. We must love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sunnah, and we must have the deepest love for the companions. That is why these were the munafiqeen, the rebels that came from Kufa, Basra and Egypt. And they came with the intention, Aliyazu billah, if they have to, they are even prepared to murder Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Even murder them, Aliyazu billah. And Banu Israel murdered the prophets. The Banu Israel murdered the prophets. And you will find certain individuals that have assassinated Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. We will continue insha'Allah ta'ala. But I thought that it would be best if the foundation is laid properly. And so we have the right picture. We have the right picture in understanding what will actually happen with Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. Because shaitan is our enemy. If we have doubt about Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in, there is a possibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, that at times the noor of iman can be taken from us. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Dua kallah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal-'afiyata fid dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sa'adaka minhu nabiyyuka 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa antal musta'an wa 'alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa إليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.